You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or give to our ministry, please visit us at thevillagechurch.net.
Good morning, church. My name is Andrea Miller, and I serve on the production team. So today's scripture is going to be out of John 4, starting in verse 13. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Verse 28. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hey, what's up? Good morning. All right. Hey, my name is Adam. I'm one of the care ministers here. Grateful to be with you. Love serving you as a care minister and serving in our care and recovery lanes. Hey, not every church can say they support care and recovery. Trust. And we have a church and an eldership and a lead pastor office that supports care and recovery. So we should be grateful for that and never take that for granted. And we should never take this gathering for granted. So can we thank the worship team and the production team for serving us so well this morning? Come on, somebody. Attitude of gratitude, man, it's important. Don't leave today until you thank someone for their service. Thank the saints for their service, the connection team, the security team, the van drivers, the parking lot team, the children's ministry team. Thank them for their service. So I want to start off with just a ridiculous story. My buddy in college told me this story about himself when he was in eighth grade. All right, somebody, my guy, he was a hooper, loved playing ball, he had a basketball tournament coming up and the following weekend, but he had to pass a math test to play. I don't know if you've ever been there where you have to pass to play. All right, so he had to pass this math test, and he knew that he knew that he knew he was going to fail this test. All right, so he had to figure out a solution. So what do you think his solution was to get past this test? Okay, if you said cheat, you just revealed something about your heart, okay? And so get yourself right, all right? He lied. That's what he did. He lied. And so he woke up that morning, and he told his dad, he said, "Dad, I'm like super sick. I can't go to school. My stomach hurts." And Dad's like, "All right, let's go to the doctor." So first opportunity for my guy to jump out the lie, but he's like, "All right, let's go to the doctor." Gets to the doctor. Doctor starts poking around in his stomach, takes his temperature, and you know, doctor's like, "I don't see anything wrong." And it's like, "Are you sure you're feeling bad?" He's like, "Yeah, stomach's really hurting." So doctor's like, "All right, like we're gonna do a more invasive," I'll just put it that way, invasive examination. All right, because there's kids in the room. All right, and so. Another good opportunity, right, for him to jump out this lie. No, he lets this doctor do this invasive examination on him, and then the doctor asks him, "Is this uncomfortable?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's uncomfortable." All right, and so the doctor's like, "Well, I can only think of one thing. We might need to take out your appendix." You would think at this point he's going to jump out the lie, right? My guy is on the surgical table, seeing a gas mask come towards him, thinking, "What am I doing?" This man had his appendix taken out on a lie. Now, here's what's ridiculous about it. Was he able to play in the basketball tournament that weekend? No, he's recovering from major surgery. Like, hiding and lying and keeping secrets, these things don't work. They're not helpful for us. And I know that's ridiculous, but hey, here's the truth. Some of us have been there. Some of us have, like, we just can't find a way to jump out of this lie. We can't find a way of getting known. It feels so impossible to do that. And if when you really think about it, what happened to him was he lost hope. He lost hope that he was going to pass the test. He lost hope that he could ask for help. He lost hope that he could tell his dad the truth and he would be forgiven. He just lost hope, and he got himself into this situation. And so my prayer for you all week has been this, that you will see today that being fully known by God and fully loved by God and others will give you hope. I want you to have hope this morning. And so I think we see this in John 4, the woman at the well. And so we took out different parts of that story. I would encourage you to all go this week, read John 4 over and over again. It's a beautiful story. But let me give you a recap for those who don't know the story really well. So Jesus, he's about to start his public ministry. Him and his disciples, they're going into this town. The disciples split off to go get some food and supplies. Jesus goes to the well. Scripture says it's about noon. It's like in the middle of the day, which is noteworthy because he meets a woman there. And for a woman to be there in the middle of the day would suggest that she's an outcast, that she's on the margins. It would be tradition for her to go in the morning with other women when it was cooler outside. So the fact that she's there suggests something. And so Jesus engages her, and she tries to shut it down at first because of ethnic differences, and he's not having that. So he's going to engage her. And then as he engages her, they start talking about living water. All right, and water versus living water, and she's not really kind of understanding it. She's like, all right, give me this water if it makes me like I'm never gonna be thirsty again and I don't have to keep coming back here. And then he drops this weird kind of comment in there, and he said, hey, go get your husband. In which her response is, well, I don't got a husband. He's like, yeah, you're right. You have had 5 husbands, and the guy you're with right now is not your husband. And she's like, oh, shoot, like you're a prophet. Like you know some stuff, like you know things. And then they start getting this spiritual conversation about true worshipers of God and who's gonna be a worshiper of God. And she's like, you know, I don't really understand what we're talking about. She's like, and one day the Messiah is gonna come back and explain all this to me. And he says, hey, the person you're talking about, I am he. All right, he is him, young people. Like he's like, I am the Messiah. I am here. And so then the disciples come back, and she leads off to the town, and she starts telling everybody, hey, come and see this man who told me everything about my life. And then the town comes out and they ask Jesus to stay for a few days. And scripture says that many were saved because of the woman's testimony and the teaching of Jesus. It's an amazing story. And so here would be a good question for you. Why was it such good news to this woman that Jesus knew everything about her? Why did she respond in such hope? Jesus knew everything about her, and her response was good and hopeful. So good and hopeful that she went and told everybody, you gotta come see this man. Why was that good news? Well, here's why I think. I think it's because the Messiah knew everything about her, and he didn't reject her. He gave her a pathway to God. He gave her salvation. He gave her living water. And every part of that statement matters. The Messiah, not Joe Bob from the town, all right? Not one of the 5 husbands, not a neighbor, not a friend, not a child. The Messiah knew everything, not just a little bit, not an insy beansy, I'm not sure, I can't, you know, not a little bit. He knew everything about her story, everything about her, and he does not reject her. He gives her a pathway to God. It's an amazing reality. Then just think about it like this. Just put on your thinking caps for a second. It is so easy to think that what Jesus is saying to her is, you're a sinner and I love you. And that's true. Right? That's true for all of us. Jesus knows that we're a sinner, and it's good news to her for sure that she knows that Jesus knows she's a sinner, and she knows now that he still loves her. Absolutely, that's part of the good news here. But when we read this story over and over again, it's so easy to assume that the reason she has 5 husbands is only because of her personal sin. And we don't actually see that in Scripture. We don't actually see that in this story. It could very well be this woman has lost a husband to death. Maybe one of her husbands died. And she's experienced great grief and great loss in her life. Hey, maybe one of her husbands did her dirty, cheated on her, lied on her, divorced her unjustly. Look, I don't know, but God knows. And so what I think is happening is Jesus is saying to her, no, I don't just see your sin, I see your story. Like, I know all of you. I know you. You are known by the Son of God, and there is a way to God through me. And that is true for you today. That God knows you. You are fully known and fully loved by God. He knows every one of your sins. He knows your secrets. He knows the way that you've hurt people. He knows the way you've lied on people, taken advantage of people, misused people. He knows the way that you might have been misused. He knows the way maybe you have been abused, abandoned, lied on, betrayed. He knows all your hurts, all your losses, all your fears, all your hopes. Hey, he knows your children. He knows your spouse. He knows your friends. He knows your coworkers. He knows your teachers. He knows all the questions that you have. He knows all the confusion that you feel. He knows everything in your past. He knows everything about your present reality. He knows everything about your future. He knows you. The Savior of the universe knows you, and he has made a way for you to God through him. You can have hope this morning. Will you turn to a neighbor and say, you can have hope? Okay, a little bit more hopeful now. Turn to someone and say, you can have hope. Being known, being fully loved is good news. We can have hope. So here are just some thoughts for you about being known. First thought, work at being known. Let's work at being known. Listen, secrets keep you sick, yo. You're only as sick as your secrets. All right, like hiding is not worth it. If you're gonna hide anywhere, hide in Christ, Colossians 3:3. And in the hiddenness of Christ, you can feel safe to be known by God and others. I've heard Chandler say this for years. The best part of being a Christian is you get God. You get a relationship with the creator of the universe, so you don't have to hold anything back from him. That's why I love the Psalms, right? Like, it's such a great picture where you can just tell him everything, your hopes, your dreams, the good, the bad, the ugly. He's okay with it. All right. Now, here's the problem, though. We ain't making time for him. We're not communing with him. So the reason some of you are like, I don't feel known by God, it's because you're not communing with God. We talked about this a few weeks in recovery about solitude. Jesus practiced solitude. He wanted to get alone with his Father. And so the way we talked about it at recovery a few weeks ago is solitude isn't really a practice, it's a position, right? You position yourself with God, and then that's where you do the practices, reading scripture and praying. I'm gonna challenge you guys, do that 10 minutes each day this week. All right, now we should do more, let's be real, but let's work at this. 10 minutes of solitude a day, and then practice it there. And I'm telling you, you come back next week, you do that every day this week, you're gonna start feeling known by God. But you gotta get alone with him. When I start thinking about the times I've been most hopeful in life, it has not been about my circumstances, it's been about my communion. All right, it's like when I am communing with God, when I'm in the presence of God, regardless of circumstances, that's when I can be most hopeful. So commune with him this week. And not only that, let's get engaged in community. Let's get known by people. The greatest thing about being known by others is you get to experience what is true vertically, horizontally, that you can be fully known and fully loved. So get known. Matt McCauley sent me this quote from Tim Keller. Let me read this to us. To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulties life can throw at us. We need to be known by each other. It reminds me of 1 John 1. Live in the light as God is in the light, and you will have fellowship with one another. You'll have true connection with one another if you are living in the light. We always say this, the opposite of addiction is connection. Satan does his best work if he can isolate you. Our best tool is to get connected with each other. At the foundation of all recovery, at the foundation of all growth, at the foundation of all transformation is being known. There's no way forward, friends, if you're not gonna be known. This is where healing happens, is being known. And it's so free. You have been set, it is freedom for that. It is for freedom that has set you free. Not for you to stay in bondage, but to be free. All right, so get free. All right, you don't have to stay in bondage. Come into the light, you can be free. And here's what's great about it. You're gonna experience this thing, it's called same here power. Here's what I mean by that. You're gonna start sharing your life with someone. They're gonna be like, you know what, same here. Yeah. And now you're not alone no more. Because that's what Satan wants to make you feel. He wants to make you feel like you're alone. You start sharing your stuff and like, yeah, same here. I've been through that. Like, oh, really? That's powerful right there. That's connection right there. It's one of our best tools. Get connected. Now, with that being said, don't hear me say you need to say everything to everybody. All right, there's some wisdom here. The woman at the well didn't go, hey, let me tell you everything about my life. She said, no, let me tell you about the man who knows everything. All right, so we set in boundaries. We're gonna be wise, but somebody needs to know something, everything about you. And I'm not just talking about like sharing behaviors and events. We often settle for that. Let me just tell you about events I've done and gone through and sins that I struggle with. No, what I'm talking about is everything. I'm talking about how have those events shaped your core beliefs? Let's share that. Let's talk about what's driving our feelings and our thoughts that's driving those behaviors. Let's talk about that, right? Let's talk about everything. Someone needs to know everything about you. We need to get connected. I tell my kids this all the time. We can deal with anything if it's known. We can deal with anything if we know about it. So let's know about it. Bring it to light. Let's get connected. So I know it's hard, and so here would be my tip for you. If you just like, I have no idea how to get known, get to know God with others. It's a great way to start. Get to know God with others. I had this whole, they asked me 2 weeks ago to preach this sermon, and so I started downloading some things, like, and I actually got a sermon downloaded pretty quickly. I'm like, all right, yeah, I can do this. And then a week ago, it all changed. I'm walking around my neighborhood with my wife, and we start talking about the woman at the well. And my wife asked me a question. She says, why do you think it was such good news that Jesus knew everything about her? And it all changed for me. I love getting to know my wife as I get to know God. This is why I think our men's and women's Bible studies, you guys grow so close together, because you're getting to know God together. This is what we do in recovery. This is what we do in group ministry. This is what we do in all of our spaces. We're not going like, let's come together to get to know each other. No, we're saying, let's come together to get to know God. And as we get to know God, we get to know each other, because we're sharing about our lives and how God's convicting and our transformation. That's the best way to be known. So if you're like, I have no idea where to start, join one of our spaces. Get to know God with other people. Have you ever been on a mission trip with somebody? Yes. You come back from that mission trip and you're like, oh, we family now. Right, don't mess with that person, because you guys have done some stuff together for the Lord, because you're getting to know God and serving God together. That's how you can get known. All right, second thought, help others be known. I've always said the best evangelists, the best disciplers, the best leaders are those who lead with their limp. You know what I mean by that? They boast in their weakness. Scripture says if you boast in your weakness, that's where God's power is made perfect. Why? Because you're saying, I can't do it. And so you're just resting in God's grace. And as you do that, other people will follow you. Last time I preached, I said this. When you testify, that you also prophesy over someone's life, that what God has done for you, he can do it for them. And so you lead with your limp, you boast in your weakness, and it allows other people to do the same. We don't need a church with a bunch of superhumans. It's not a great place to go to church. No, we need people who will boast in their weakness, so we can all rest in God's grace together. And those are powerful people right there. People who are walking around just, man, I'm just boasting in my weakness, resting in God's grace. That will give you some power right there. So let's do that. Let's help each other. And here's what else you can do to help each other. And if you've heard one of my trainings this year, I apologize. This is going to be a little bit on repeat. But as people start sharing their lives with you, I think these three C's will help you. All right, it's curiosity, compassion, and challenge. So as people start sharing their life with you, we need to be curious people. We just need to ask questions. We just need to listen. People love to talk, yo. All right, just listen. People need people to talk to. Just listen, ask questions. And I'm not talking about like for like a 30-minute thing at Starbucks. I'm just talking about this is our position in life. We're always going to know our spouses. We're always going to know our friends. We're always going to know our children. We're always going to know the people around us. So let's be curious. And here's the kicker. You stay curious until you can get to a place of compassion. Amen. You stay curious with someone until you can get to a place of compassion. I've been doing this long enough now to know this. There is a why behind the what. Yep. There's a reason. And I'm not telling you have to co-sign on the what. But what happens is we hear these whats and we react with such rage sometimes. We react so suddenly without even thinking, well, what might be the why behind that? Why is this person doing this? And so you get curious enough until you can figure out the why, and then you can be compassionate. And then from that place, you challenge. I have found it to be most helpful for people's discipleship when you're challenging from a place of compassion, because they know you're for them, and you know, and they know that you know them, and they know that you love them, and that challenge is going to be much more effective for their discipleship. I think this is what the woman at what Jesus does for the woman at the well. Hey, go get your husband. Well, we know Jesus already knows everything, but that's curiosity, kind of helping the conversation get going. His whole interaction with her is a very compassionate interaction. And then what is his challenge? His challenge is actually just an invitation to himself. I've always said a good challenge is just a great invitation. You're inviting someone into life and life abundantly. It's just a great invitation. So can we do this for each other, church? All right, thank you, sister. Can anybody else do this for each other? All right, let's be curious and compassionate And let's challenge from that place. That's going to help people get known. And then finally, this is my last point. This will spend the rest of our time. Is let's rest in being known by God. Let's rest in being known by God. Now, I do have to point this out. The reason why it was good news is because he was the Savior. So if you don't know the Savior, it actually ain't that good news. All right, and so let's just point, like, that's the reason why this is good news to, for the woman and for the townspeople, is because Jesus was the Savior. Let's see how the story ends here in John 4. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." That's why it's good news, because it's the Savior. And I have been praying for someone that have not surrendered their life to Jesus, that today would be the day. So because maybe you didn't come in today like looking to surrender to Jesus, but neither did this woman. She was going to the well for some water, and Jesus came after her. And so I'm telling you, Jesus wants to meet someone at the well today. Come on, that's good, right? Jesus wants to meet someone at the well today. All right, someone, I've been praying for you that you would, today would be the day that you're like, I am fully known by God and he loves me and there is a way to God through Jesus, and today would be the day you surrender your life to him. Jesus is super clear in scripture. The way to the Father is through the Son. That's the only way. And that might seem like the most exclusive message to you, but it's actually the most inclusive message that there is. Because that means anybody. That means anybody can come to God. Doesn't matter how many times you relapse, how many setbacks you have, how many secrets you got, how many people you've hurt, how much trauma you've endured. Anybody can come to God through Jesus. It's the most inclusive message that there is. And so I'm praying that one of you would come. And you might be thinking, well, but if you knew me, what we've been talking about all morning, Jesus knows you and he has made a way for you. I pray you'll respond today. Now, for others of you, fam, you're already in the fam, right? And you can rest in the fact that your God, your Father, knows you. So here's what we're going to do. I want to have a bunch of I am statements, a bunch of identity statements. This is true about believers in Christ. And here's what I don't want you to miss. God says this about you, and he knows everything about you. So he says you are a priest, and he knows you, right? He says you are holy and he knows you. He says you're a child of God and he knows you. So he's not like, well, we'll see, maybe. Like, I just know a little bit about this person. I'm hoping that this is true. No, he says, I fully know you and I fully love you. And so I'm telling you, this is what's true about you. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna go through this really slowly. We're gonna have some slides that come up that's gonna have these identity statements. And I want you just to read them, and then I'll read them for you, and then we'll go to the next slide. And what I want you to do is I want you to pick one of these. I want you to pick one of these identity statements, and I want you to hold on to it all week. And I want you to affirm yourself all week. Now, affirmations are powerful, but affirming yourself in the Word of God, that's life-changing. All right, so what I want you to do is pick one, and I want you to say it to yourself 3 times a day. This is where it gets a little weird, in the mirror. All right, I want you to look at yourself in the mirror and I want you to say, I'm a child of God. I am a child. I want you to do that 3 times a day, right? That you would remember that this is true about you and you can trust it's true about you because God who knows you says it's true about you. And so we're going to go through this. Pick one out of, there's probably like 30 of them. Pick one of them that is true. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am a child of God. I am part of the true vine, a branch of Christ's life. I am a friend of God. I am chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am resurrected to new life. I am a slave to righteousness. I am a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ, sharing his inheritance. I'm a dwelling place of God. I am united to the Lord. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a new creation. I am reconciled to God. I am a saint. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am God's workmanship, made to do good works. I am a fellow citizen of God's family. I am righteous and holy. I am a citizen of heaven. I am hidden in Christ in God. I am expression of the life of Christ. I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. I am a child of light and not darkness. I am an heir to eternal life. I am a holy partaker of a heavenly calling. I am a living stone in God's spiritual house. I am a member of a chosen race, a holy nation. I am a priest. I am participating in the divine nature. I am born of God, and the devil cannot touch me. You got one?
Yes.
You got one?
Yes.
All right, let's get known. Turn to someone and tell them what it is. Tell them which one you chose. Uh-huh, some accountability, uh-huh. Three times a day for the next week. Scripture talks about Jesus as our living hope. If you have not surrendered your life to him, I just want to tell you what that living hope means. That means that you can trust that he's going to be gracious to you. He's going to respond to you in grace and compassion. It means that there's resurrection power in Jesus. And because that he conquered the grave, that same resurrection power will resurrect you to eternal life. And that means that resurrection power is in you now, which means that can actually change your life, your situation right now. It heals diseases, it reconciles relationships, strongholds come off with the power of Jesus. And if you have not experienced this, I'm saying come get a good drink of the living water. All right, there's gonna be men and women up here. We'd love for you to come respond. The baptistry is open. We've made time for it. Come and share, get prayed for. Hey, maybe you just need to confess something. We're called to confess to one another, to pray for each other so that we could be healed. It's time to get free. You like know you're sick because of that secret? Come get free. It's not just gonna be the best day and your worst day of your life. It's just gonna be the best day of your life because there's freedom available for you. So come get free. Come share and confess. It's open to you. And so, brothers and sisters, for those of you who are in Christ, I hope that you just rest in what he has said about you. Just rest in it. Don't fight it. Don't battle it. Just go, I'm a child of God. That's who I am. Because God has said that about me, and he knows me. Just rest this week. If you'll stand and grab your communion cup with me. I'm going to read those statements over us again just in a different way. reminding you of what God has said about you. And then we'll take communion together. So if you would, just close your eyes and open up your hands. I just want you again to be reminded of your identity for those who are in Christ. God says that you are the salt of the earth, that you are the light of the world, that you are a child of God, that you are the true vine, a branch of Christ's life, that you are a friend of God, that you are chosen and appointed to bear fruit, that you are resurrected to new life, that you are a slave to righteousness, that you are a son of God, that you are a joint heir with Christ, sharing in his inheritance, that you are a dwelling place of God, that you are united to the Lord, that you are a member of Christ's body, that you are a new creation, that you are reconciled to God, that you are a saint, that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing, that you are God's workmanship made to do good works, that you are a fellow citizen of God's family, that you are righteous and holy, you are a citizen of heaven, you are hidden in Christ in God, you are an expression of life of Christ, you are chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. You are a child of light, not darkness. You are an heir to eternal life, a holy partaker of a heavenly calling. You are a living stone in God's spiritual house. You are a member of the chosen race, a holy nation. You are a priest. You are participating in the divine nature, and you are born of God, and the devil cannot touch you. That is who you are. That is who the God that knows you says you are. You can rest in that, children. So let's take communion, because this is an opportunity to remember what he did for us. And hey, he did this for us knowing us. He died for us knowing everything about you. All right, so we get to take this communion in remembrance of the fact that he didn't die for us not knowing or just knowing a little bit about us. He knew everything. And so on the night that he was betrayed, he gathered with his disciples around a table and he took bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." And then he took the wine. He said, this wine is my blood shed for you. Every time you drink this, remember me. Drink. All right. Let's worship and respond. There'll be men and women up here to pray with you.